Boomer Radio on Freedom 95 with your host, Julie Patterson.
Welcome to the show. Hi, Mary Pat.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Indiana Business Advisors is one of our, they sponsor our television show,
yep.
Indie Boomer TV, which we love that about them. And I said, hey, I want them for radio. Will they talk to us? And so Ed Meiselgland is on the phone, and he's going to be in this segment with us from Indiana Business Advisors. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a delight to be here.
Good, good. So tell our audience, might be different than TV, what does Indiana Business Advisors do?
Well, we are a 37-year-old company
Wow.
that we provide exit planning and business brokerage services. So we help people prepare and ultimately sell their companies.
So how did you get interested in that? That's really a unique little niche.
Well, the funny thing is I've been in this industry for 26 years.
Wow.
I walked right out of Butler and right into this place, and
Wow.
I've stayed.
Wow.
Yeah, so we've seen some, you know, just the industry change, the motivations of buyers and sellers change over the years.
So, why is this service important to baby boomers? I'm thinking of obvious things in my head, but
well, the biggest challenge any baby boomer business owner faces is that they have a business that is illiquid. And when I say illiquid, it means you have to turn it into cash in order to spend it. So statistics show that it's between 70% and 90% of any business owner, or most business owners, have their net worth tied up in their business. So if they are unable to sell their company, you can imagine the ramifications of that. So what we do is we help position the company, educate the seller on what to expect, and then execute on that sale so that they can retire in a fashion that they wish.
I remember my father-in-law was an electrician and had his own business for years and years and years, and I remember he'd end up selling his company, but I don't know that he had all of your strategies at the time. So what is the process like? What's kind of the step-by-step? What's the first thing you do for a business? And, you know, what happens after that? I'm just curious.
Yeah, well, the first thing that we begin with is assessing readiness. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the company is ready to sell. It evaluates the business owner. What does the business owner look like after selling the company? Because believe it or not, mm-hmm. statistics show that about 76% of people regret selling their company
oh,
2 years later.
Really?
They haven't thought all the way through. It sounds really good to say I'm going to retire in golf until you golf every day for a few months.
So and, they have some regrets. Maybe they want to still be attached to it in some way.
Right. Well, you have to remember, I mean, it's been their identity
yeah.
probably for decades. And so to lose that part of your identity, you have to plan for it. So that's the personal side. You know, are you ready personally? Now mm-hmm. let's look at from the business. We have to establish what is the value of the company, because that, like I told you earlier, is going to serve as your retirement nest egg for the next, and I think the average is between 18 and 25 years for
wow.
an average retirement.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
No, I was just going, wow, you're right. Cause that...
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. So,
yeah.
So that's a big issue. And then so from there, now the business owner has, they've assessed their own readiness. We've assessed the value. Now we can start planning. Now there's different transfer channels. For example, some business owners may be in a position where they want to gift a portion of their company to church or a charity of their choice. Well, if you plan far enough ahead, then you can get into a position where that is a very tax advantageous strategy.
Interesting.
As well as, you know, it may go to a child. It may go to mm-hmm. Employees. It may go to a third party or a private equity group. So we evaluate all these options, and then from there, then we can back even further into a hypothetical sale where, you know, wealth managers can get involved and say, all right, this is what my after the business life looks like, and then we can plan accordingly.
And to establish the value, I mean, you probably deal with so many different kinds of companies. That, you know, do you have like specialists in different fields, or there's a certain formula?
So I try to steer clear of just a one formula fits all. But
sure, it makes sense.
I've been designated in business valuation for about 20 years now,
and
there's different types of valuation depending on the types of companies. But what we do is we, especially in the sale environment, we want to know what buyers are paying for companies like this.
Good point. Yeah.
And so we're going to the marketplace and looking for like companies and saying, all right, if this is the investment behavior of this particular buyer, let's apply it to your company. And theoretically, that's how they should behave toward it, all things being equal.
Yeah, really interesting. Just intriguing stuff that you just don't think about. So, but not everybody owns their own business. So you mentioned, you know, leaving it to the kids. I've seen kids run businesses into the ground before. I guess, do you advise an owner and just say, hey, I don't know, how do you advise an owner about what kind of successes? Have you had a lot of successes with the kids take it over? Or?
Well, I can tell you
that
PricewaterhouseCoopers came out with a study, and for the first time ever, the business is not going to the heir. They're looking for third parties to buy the company because they don't want to serve as the bank for Junior.
And so
we're seeing a lot of that. Now you got to remember, especially like when there's multiple kids involved, you have to look at whether or not, you know, what's fair may not necessarily be equal. So if you have one kid that's, you know, building value in the business and the other two are, you know,
not
skiing, that doesn't work. Now we tend to engage estate planning attorneys where they can have some of those conversations.
Yes.
You know, we help establish value and such. Now, believe it or not, one of the more recent trends is getting social workers involved. Especially with all kinds of family dynamics.
You know what? We were talking about this on Boomer TV not too long ago doing wraps, just the dynamics of families. We have a segment coming up about grandparents and visitation, and, you know, sometimes families, the dynamics can get bad enough where, you know, you're denied seeing that grandchild. So it sounds like in a business world, you can have similar types of volatile relationships.
Absolutely. In fact, when you have, especially the ultra high net worth families, where, you know, somebody has multiple wives, and
you say wives, and, or
yeah,
wives.
Wives. Well, yeah, wives. Think about. I don't want to name names, but we've got, you know, people that own our local sports teams or sports facilities.
Oh, who have
different,
several,
you know,
wives.
Might have a couple of wives, and then the kids with, you know, I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
I get that.
So yeah, so the water gets pretty muddy in a hurry. Especially when you start talking about, you know, the greatest asset that the family probably has, you know. So
yeah.
So you have to make meaningful and well thought out decisions, and like I said, you may need to engage others, and that's part of the whole exit planning process.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we, you know, it's a collaborative effort because it may take, you know, an entire village to get that business owner across the finish line.
And it sounds to me like this doesn't happen over the weekend. You know, you do need to plan, almost like planning for retirement. I mean, it's similar in some ways. You need to start thinking about it in your 50s.
Well, Ed, you said you had a gentleman who you saw like 6 or 7 years ago, and then he came back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's exactly it. We did the value. He had a heart attack. Metaphorically, of course.
Sure.
He did not like the number. We told him, you know, these are the things that you need to do in order to decrease the value gap between his expectation and our value.
Mm-hmm.
He did them. We revalued it. He, you know, he said, well, I got a couple more years left in me, and he showed up and said, I'm ready, and, you know, let's go to market. So now the beauty of it is that he understands the value of his company. He understands how someone's going to look at that value, and how is he going to transfer it from point A to point B, like you were saying, Julie, about your father as an electrician.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's how do you convey those accounts over? mean, right. that's a real challenge. And the good news is that there was enough planning to make it happen.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, my father-in-law did the right thing. So they're still doing fine. So I guess so. And they're 84.
But you know what I'm hearing the message is that if you own a business, you really should go see you now, right, Ed? Because if you've got another 2 or 5 years in you.
Be comprehensive about it.
Yeah, think about
it. Well, what you don't want to happen is you don't want tragedy to strike your family.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're scrambling to say, hey, Ed, I need to make my business liquid.
Yeah, and there's no plan.
It's such a struggle to do. Not that it's impossible, mm-hmm, but the problem is your plan. You really need a plan that at least knowing your value and at least understanding how a buyer is going to look at your business will help you plan for it. And that doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. It does require a little bit of an investment in time, as well as, you know, nominal fees for you to get just a basic understanding of what it is that you're trying to sell eventually.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're doing is very important. Boy, I have a couple more questions. I'm running out of time. So, what is the number one reason people fail when trying to do it themselves? I mean,
well, they don't understand that there's this emotional attachment to their business.
Yes, of course.
And when the way I look at a business or the way you look at a business may be entirely different from somebody that's been doing it for 40 years. Mm-hmm. So when I say, you know, I would have never done it this way, you're saying, well, my gosh, you're telling me my baby's ugly. And you have no idea how many soccer games I missed because of this business the challenges in my marriage because of this business. How can you say that?
Right.
So that's why having an objective third party isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just it's just helping educate you on how somebody's going to look at the business.
Well, I'm trying to think who told me it was a teacher maybe or something. You know, if you want to be an expert on something, do you really want to spend years and years and years, you know, figuring it out for yourself? Or do you want to go get a book that the best guy that knows how to do that wrote? You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And you've obviously been doing this for 20 years with Indiana Business Advisors. So you're the guy to call.
We are.
Ed Meiselgland has been our guest with Indiana Business Advisors. The website is just how it sounds, indianabusinessadvisors.com. You can follow him. You can email him, Ed, at indianabusinessadvisors.com. Twitter, it's Ed Meiso. And Facebook is also, you know, do the / Indiana Business Advisors. So we are good to go there. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else? I mean, there's a lot we didn't cover. Maybe you can come back and be on our show again.
Oh, anytime. You know,
cool.
I got a face for radio.
you are so silly.
I doubt that. I saw you on TV. All right. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Thanks for your time.
All right, guys.
Okay.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson continues right after the break. This is Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
Thank you for listening. I learned a lot in that last segment. You, Mary Pat?
Oh,
absolutely.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good. Yeah. I wish I had a business so I could go to him and say, you know, what's it worth? And just to go through the steps. It's interesting that you might need a social worker. Anyway, all these other things. So we hope you learned a lot. This segment, we are featuring a buddy that I go way back with. You've probably heard of him. His name is Macho Mike. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my goodness. So your claim to fame is you are a huge, I'm going to call you a super fan. We didn't used to have that term, you know, 15, 20 years ago when I met you. But now we have super fans, and he is a super fan for our Indianapolis Indians, right?
Right. I do the Indians, and I do a lot of volunteer work, a lot of the walks, like breast cancer walk, multiple sclerosis walk. Proud to say my wife's a 9-year survivor of cancer, my wonderful wife, Teresa, so...
Yes, amazing.
She's my biggest supporter. God and her are my biggest supporters.
Oh, Mike. Well, you know what? I'm trying to think of the very first time I met you. I don't know when it was, but I know that we used to, when I had other radio shows that we've had you on before.
You in the morning.
Yes. And you quite often made the airwaves. And so let's talk about your humble beginnings. When was your first Indians baseball game? Do you even know? Do you remember?
Back in probably about 19... 57, something like that. When I was about 8 years old.
I was going to say you were a kid. And were those games at Busch Stadium or somewhere
Busch
else?
Stadium.
So Busch
Stadium.
Many of us who are boomers remember Busch Stadium. It was lovely, but boy, do you know what year they built the current stadium downtown?
Yeah, 1996.
1996, I knew you would know. And is that not a beautiful facility? Victory
yes,
Field.
Is.
Victory
yeah.
Field is gorgeous.
They actually had me back to perform for the 20th anniversary.
Would you please tell me about that performance?
It was just unique. I just got out and did what I usually do, what I feel like doing, just make some moves and make people happy. And I thought it was a thrill to be back for that.
You know what? Is all of that spontaneous? You know, when you you lead the cheering and you're kind of doing
whatever,
a dance. And all
whatever
that.
I feel like doing that night is what I feel like doing. It's not one spontaneous thing. It's just, you know, the YMCA is kind of a signature song.
Sure, sure.
So I'll give you both a YMCA while I got you here also. God bless you guys.
Oh, I wish we could see that. Well, tell me, now, do you have regular season seats there at the Indians? Or
no. No, we just go out when we can, me and the wife.
Okay. You and Teresa, got it.
My wife, Teresa, yeah. And like I say, 34 years of marriage coming up keeps me going. And
congratulations.
9 years surviving cancer. I hate to repeat that, but it's special.
You know,
God and her keep me going.
What was that like going through that cancer scare with her, with your wife?
It was kind of scary, but I'm proud to announce that they got it early.
Mm.
Just had to have radiation. It was kind of a scary thing, but a lot of prayer and a lot of hopes and a lot of sincerity
right.
got us through it.
I know that early detection is a big deal with cancer and the
right.
rates of survival. So
couldn't do without Dr. Chase Lottich.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that doctor, but, you know, a special person for sure.
Exactly.
So back to the Indians. Have you kind of seen them play from every kind of angle? By that, I mean
right.
you've been in center field. That's a cool place to take a blanket and
right.
some snacks.
Right.
Maybe you've been in one of their cool suites.
Right
behind home plate. I mean, what's been your favorite of all the experiences you've had? Or you
well,
probably like
number
your kids,
of them.
You can't pick them. Go ahead, tell
there's
us
a number
about
of them. One of them is probably one night I was at the ushering, and one of our former governors, usually the governor, you ask him for his autograph. He wanted me to come in and take his picture with him. That
oh,
was special.
Neat.
And got to chime in with my favorite Indians player, always be Razor Shines.
Razor Shines, yes, I remember.
And another experience, I'm down ushering one night, and our big, tall first baseman had to go to the restroom. They were supposed to fix the latch and the door, and they didn't.
Oh, no.
I came back, and the Louisville Bat dugout, where I stand right next to you, threw toilet paper at him when he came out.
Oh, my goodness.
But like I say, and then dancing the 20th anniversary celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And I sign autographs at times. My biggest, the only thing I charge for an autograph is a thank you.
Aw, you're such a sweetheart.
And, but just a lot of thrill. The biggest support from the Indians, too, like Matt Gay and Carl Burleson and
yeah, Cal's
the Schumachers mm-hmm. and everything. And
mm-hmm.
But that was a special. And I actually performed for a Colts game one night. Me and old Bill the Beer Man, I don't know if you remember him from the
yes!
hockey game.
So how did you get
performed.
Connected to that? They just were like, these are super fans.
They just
we want
asked us
there.
To oh, perform.
Cool. I love
it. I performed for Butler University, a lot of high schools. A lot of, in fact, I went back to my old Little League, Christian Park. I played there the first
wow.
2 years, and they had me say the prayer to open the season. And I just love volunteering. I love helping.
We are talking to Macho Mike. That's how we know him and have known him for many, many years. And he's a super fan. You have a name now.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. Loves the Indians, loves the community, loves giving back. Does it feel good to give back when you do all your volunteering?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the most rewarding thing mm-hmm. is the giving back and helping people out. You never know, you need to help sometime. And that's the biggest thing. Like I say, I do all kinds of walks and anything, you know, anybody that I'm available to do, I still do. As long as the Lord lets me, I'm still going to be out there boogieing and Another one of my favorite things is to get a group of people with an outing, and we do the Macarena.
I can do the Mary Pat. Can you do the Macarena? Do you remember how to do it?
If I stand next to somebody.
Yeah. And peek, kind of. That's so much fun. So much fun. So you like to move. You like to cheer. You know, you're like, you know, Indianapolis is one of our biggest cheerleaders.
I love music. Favorite song, the old song Downtown by Petula Clark.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I actually saw her last performance.
Did
she? Elvis gave his last performance here. She gave her last performance here at the Circle Theater.
Well, who knew? Were you there?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes. A throwback.
A big Petula fan, are you?
Yeah.
Love it.
I love music from 40s to 80s.
And then you cut it off. From the 90s on, you don't want to bother.
Well, 90s is okay if you're involved. If you DJ some 90s.
Gotcha.
You're still one of my favorite morning and still one of my favorite people. And I got a lot of favorites, but you're one of the tops.
Thank you, Macho Mike. That means a lot coming from you because I know you talk to everybody. So that's very, very cool.
Mary, you sound like you another wonderful, attractive lady also. And
yep.
I'm glad to be with you today, too.
Well, thank you. I'm much better looking than Julie.
She is. It's true. It's true. Well, Mike, let's see. If there's one, I'm trying to think. I know, I remember Razor Shines, loved him. I'm trying to think. There used to have a recipe book, and he had a recipe in there. I'm trying to think what it was. I might still own it. Did you own that recipe book?
No, I did not.
Okay, I have to get you a copy of that.
Yeah, I'd love to have a copy of that.
I'm going to have to see if I can dig that out.
So, okay, and I do have a copy of Reed Duffy's
menus. He would go and do all the different restaurant reviews. I love those segments. Those
me
are great.
And my wife actually were on one of the Reed Duffy shows when he was on Channel 6 News.
Oh, you are bringing back some great memories.
Went to a place called Where Friends Meet out 71st Street.
Cool. I wonder if they still meet there.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's still there.
I tell jokes, but they're not dirty.
We like those kind. Tell me one.
Well, my friend's favorite one where I used to work, he had to go get his back worked on in Egypt. You know why?
Mm-mm.
He had to go to a chiropractor.
Oh, that's good, Mike.
Okay, Mike, here's one for you. You ready?
Okay.
If seagulls fly over the sea, what flies over the bay?
Bagels.
Yes, bagels!
Oh,
isn't
very
that funny?
Good.
Never without, but my favorite food's meatloaf.
I like meatloaf, too. Does your wife make a mean meatloaf?
My sister-in-law makes the mean meatloaf and mean chili.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of your other favorites. What's your favorite movie of all time?
Got to be either El Dorado or Sons of Katie Eller. I'm a big John Wayne fan.
Okay. Favorite color?
Red.
I was going to say Indians red. That's probably a given.
And Hoosier. I'm a Hoosier fan.
And a Hoosier fan. The crimson and cream. Absolutely.
And a St. Louis Cardinal fan.
Okay, so it has to be red, right?
Right.
We used to have a cheer in high school, you know. Well, I can't repeat it. It actually wouldn't come across.
Some of mine
nice
I can't repeat either.
Yeah, okay. Well, Mike, oh my gosh.
I can't repeat 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar all for the other team laugh and holler.
Hey, Macho Mike, what if somebody wants you for one of their events and they're listening to the radio show right now? How do you give information about Facebook page or what?
Any way they could get a hold of you guys.
Yeah, that's true.
You could get a hold of me.
Julie@indieboomer.com or marypat@indieboomer.com. And then we can pass along Mike's information to you. Oh, my gosh. So great to catch up with you.
So great to catch up with you guys.
We'll do it again sometime.
It's special. And like I say, you're in my prayers. And God bless you guys. And God bless America. And God bless our servicemen and women. And one more thing important. I did serve in the Navy.
Oh, God bless you. We just went through Memorial Weekend a couple of weekends ago. Wowza. Well,
and
thank you for your service.
I'll send my wonderful wife, Teresa, a big hug for you.
Would you please make it last at least 60 seconds?
Oh, I will.
That won't be too hard for you, will it?
No. And God, like I say, this was an honor to do this and very special.
Well, thank you, Mike.
We're talking to Macho Mike, super fan for the Indianapolis Indians and just the community in general. So thanks for all you do.
I love Indianapolis also. YMCA for everybody.
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm picturing it right now. Mike, take care. Thanks for being on Boomer Radio.
God bless you.
And you're listening to Freedom 95.